Plus 31. No. You're not too far from there, but it wasn't Exodus 31. You see, if I say I'll give anybody $100 now, all of you remember. Eh? Judges what? Judges 13. Did you write it down? How did you know? Yes, it was Judges 13. And let me tell you why I asked us to read that. Something happened to me a few years back, and it wasn't a very good thing. I normally play tennis. I've been playing tennis for a while, and I have some friends I play tennis with. And there's a particular gentleman, that we normally play tennis together, one of the group of people I play with. We call him Pastor. And it so happened that there was a day Pastor brought his children to the courts. And I was just asking them, Pastor, your father is a pastor. Bible stories, do you know about the story of Joseph and his multicolored coats? They didn't know. Tell me about, do you know the story of Samuel? They didn't know. Do you know the story of Samson? They didn't know. And I saw that even though their father was called pastor, these children knew very little about the Bible. And I asked myself, how much of our children here know these stories? How much of our adults here know these stories? Those are stories, and I will dare say that many of our children know, because the caliber of the teachers we have over there, they're not small caliber. So I know that many of our children will know. But I say this, there are some Bible stories that are just things we learn growing up in a Christian household, which I feel that from time to time, we have to read wide chapters in the Bible for us to remember these stories. Now, I say what happened to me wasn't pleasant because a few years ago, when I lost my mother, I later on learned this, so it wasn't then. I learned this later on, that all those guys that I played tennis with, they contributed money to give to me. Say, okay, you lost your mother. This is something from all of us, your friends. And they gave it to Pastor to give it to me. And I never got the money. Like I said, I learned later on because something just happened, and one of the people said that, oh, Bumi, didn't you get, because I never said thank you to anybody, didn't you get this thing that we sent? I said, what thing? That was how they called Pastor. Pastor, all the money we contributed, why didn't you give it to Bumi? That was the last day we saw Pastor in the tennis courts. And it's not a pleasant testimony for you to say you're a pastor and people contribute money and you abscond with the money. It was a shame. It was a shame. For us as Christians, we cannot quote scripture, we cannot come to church, and our lives are not like the lives of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something about integrity and our work, not with the Lord alone, but with the world. Because if the world cannot see Christ in us, what then are we professing? Why then do we come here? Because it's a waste of time if 2 hours every Sunday morning, religiously, we're in a place to say we're worshiping God. And yet, the society cannot see the God we are worshiping in us. These Bible stories, they have been given to us as examples of people who have lived, made mistakes for us to learn from. Some people who have lived this way, right, for us to learn from also. Because every character in the Word of God, in this Bible, is an example for how we ought to live our own lives. Things we ought to practice, things we ought to not do. And that is why it is important that we learn from these biblical characters. So last week, we were reading about the life of a man called Samson in the Bible. I remember that last week also, I preached about the help of the Holy Spirit, how we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. We say that when we preach, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. In the marketplace, we need the Holy Spirit. I told you about my experience on my first task that I got when I started working professionally in America. How when I knew when the Holy Spirit helped me. Sister Kemi gave you an example of her own encounter. Some you would know it. Some you it will be the later on you've seen the results that you know that, oh, this was the Holy Spirit in operation. Today, I thought that I will speak more about how can we now be filled with that Holy Spirit. But I think I'll leave that to later. Because I want us to look at the life of this man called Samson. In the book of Judges, there are people who judged Israel. If you know about the history of the Bible, you know, from Genesis, you read about creation, you read about the people who God first created in Adam and Eve, the people who, how Adam and Eve and the people who came after became a nation, how they tried to build the Tower of Babel, they sinned against God, how God chose Abraham out of, you know, people who had begun to sin, how the flood came in Noah. We read so many stories, and then God now began to choose a few people who will serve him. And God segmented some people, called them the Hebrews, and had set judges over them. And the book of Judges, it's a cyclical book. Cyclical in that the children of Israel, or the Hebrews, they'll sin against God. God will punish them. They will cry to God. God will deliver them. They will have moments of respite. Everything is good. And then generations, a few generations later, they will sin again. They will forget God. The land where God drove the people out because of sin and gave them possession, they began to practice the same sins of that land. God will punish them again. They will cry out to God. God will deliver them. They will have moments of respite. They will forget God again. They will sin. God will punish them. So you see how cyclical it was. You see, those were a people who had cyclical lives. But do you know that we too, sometimes our lives are like that. So this book is actually telling us how God doesn't give up on us, and we ought to take cue. Because sometimes God blesses us, everything is fine. God, I've just graduated, I need a job, I get a job, I want to get married, I get married, I want to have children, I have children. Lord, I need a house, I have a house, now I'm comfortable. Brother Bumi, we haven't seen you in prayer meeting, no? Ah, sorry, I was very busy, you know. I'll come. And then something happens. Ah, God, please. God, please. I need you. God. And God answers. We have respite again. So sometimes our lives are cyclical like that. This man called Samson, can anybody tell us what we read of his life last week? Not you. Not you too. You see, sometimes reading Bible in church is, what do you call it? It's just because we want to fill time. Here, it's not we want to fill time. It's we want to test each other. So today is the day of testing. Sister Atola, you are looking so beautiful today. So, please give her. She will do the test. She was here last week. Her spirit was here last week. Don't worry. So, Sister Tola, tell me about the life of Samson. Who was Samson? Mm-hmm. Just breathe easy.
Yeah. Samson was the one who, the powerful one who got himself, who went down to the place he wasn't supposed to go get a wife.
Okay.
Get a girl. I don't know if they got married. Delilah.
Okay.
And who?
Yes, you've gone past.
Okay.
So I want to, chapter 13. Okay. So what was the circumstance of the birth of Samson?
Okay, so Samson's mom, whose name I don't ever.
So if I haven't asked you, can be reading the Bible, though. It's open book. Because if I come to you, I'll ask you to.
So Samson's mom was told before his mom was told even before she got pregnant that she was going to have a son.
Yes.
And that he was to be a Naz. I don't know how to say that.
Very good.
Yeah. And that
a Nazirite or Nazirite. Nazirite or Nazirite.
Mm-hmm.
What is a Nazirite? Today is the day of tests.
I think it's people who have been set apart to by God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't cut their hair and they're not supposed to drink alcohol.
All right, please give it to Funto. You are too brilliant. Okay, so Fumito, a Nazirite, they're not supposed to cut their hair. One. They're not supposed to touch any fermented drink or alcoholic drink. Two. What's the third thing? There are three things about the Nazirite.
I think it has to do with, because I know there was this one thing that he did that he wasn't meant to do. When he killed the lion and there was honey, and then he wasn't meant to take
the honey?
Yes.
No, it wasn't that. All right. Adi, what's the third thing about the Nazirite?
You're not supposed to cut your hair?
Yeah, one. She already said that.
Oh. You can't. So you're not supposed to. I'm pretty sure it was like something about Delilah because like.
No. Give it to Auntie behind you. Okay.
You're not supposed to touch a corpse.
Thank you. You're not supposed to come near any dead person or animal. So in Nazirite, look at Ibrahim's hair. So that's how the Nazirite look, because they never cut their hair. So there are some people who actually practice something like that. They're called, you know, the Rastafari. They want to practice. That's a Rasta. Oh, it's a Rastafarian. See? Rastafarian. Okay. German. Oh, is it Yaman? Yes. Are there people who can? So, are there people now? So, regardless of where you are, it's people who make a vow to God that did it. Okay. So, now. Very good question. Can people still? You stumped me there. Yes. So there are people who they make a vow. For Samson, God actually told his mother through the angel that your son will be a Nazirite. For Samuel's mother vowed that I will give you to the Lord. He will not drink anything alcoholic. So there are people who make vows. There was a time in the life of Paul, Apostle Paul, where he made a vow to God to, at the completion of the vow, he had to go to the temple for his hair to be cut. So there are people who still make the vow. But the question is, when we have, because our vow is to Christ, right? Do we need to make any vow when we have Christ. Well, it's one of those things we can talk about. That's some PhD. Just let's do some small tests here. Okay. So, in chapter 13 also, so this woman who was barren, an angel appeared unto her, told her, you will have a son. And she did have a son. So there were some things that were going on in the land of Israel at that time that God used the Philistines. Who are the Philistines? Derek, who are the Philistines? Okay, Derek, come and sit down here. You are going to be my reader. Thank you, Derek. All right, so where's your Bible? It's on your phone. Okay, bring it out. See, that's see the generational difference. I have my Bible here. Okay, so what are we reading? Okay, open Judges 13. So now read from verse 1 to verse 7. Can we get him? Thank you.
Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Can you read it a little louder?
Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
He said again, which means they had been doing it before. Okay?
And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of Danites, whose name was...
Danites. Family of the Danites.
Of the Danites. Whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now, you are barren and you have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. And now a razor shall come upon his hand, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his continuous was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.
Okay, I'll stop there. Sister Anna, please, can you help me read from verse 8 to 12? Please, let me give her a Bible. Do you need glasses also? it's up there also. It's okay. Verse 8 to 12.
Then
Manoah
prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.
Mm-hmm.
And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God come to the woman again and said, and she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband was not with her. Then the woman ran in the haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. Go. Oh. Okay. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to his woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rules of life and his work?"
Dara Simi, can you read from verse 13 to 18? From 13 to 18.
God said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe." Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please, let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." But Manoah did not know it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?"
2:18. Oh, that's 18. Okay. Brother Ken, please, can you read from 19 to 22? Yes.
"And offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, 'We shall surely die, because we have seen God.' But his wife said unto him, 'If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have shewed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as this.'"
Go on.
"And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtahol."
Thank you very much. So, Derek, what is the father? Who is the father of Samson? Very good. See how we're all paying attention now. So I know that from now henceforth, when anybody is reading the Bible passage, we will listen, because I will call names. So today, we're going to read the Bible passage for today. So Sister Shade, please. So let's go to chapter 14 now.
"Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines."
Okay, so hold on a second, because we're going to be reading it and teaching each other also. So Samson went and saw a woman of the Philistines. Who are the Philistines?
Neighbors.
Eh?
Their neighbors with Israel. An enemy.
They're actually enemies. They're the enemies of the Israelites. The Philistines, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Ijebus, they were...
the Jebusites.
They were the original owners of that land, of that place where the is. So they were the ones who served different gods. There was a god they served. And actually, you know, archaeologists, they found some of the places where they worshipped a god they called Molech. Do you know how they worshipped Molech? Last week, we were talking about how the people of Ephesus, the Ephesians, how they worshipped their own gods, right? Bacchus, Artemis, Molech. How do they worship Molech?
Burn children, babies.
They put their children in fire, burn their children alive unto Molech. So that is how they... And they served Dagon, Baal. They had all types of gods. And there was a time God said, it is enough. And God drove them out using those Israelites as the tool of judgment. Now, God also used the Philistines as the tool of judgment when the Israelites, when they sinned. So the Philistines, they were actually the enemies of Israel. Another thing about the Philistines, they were very, very skilled in war. They knew the art of making tools into warfare implements. Do you know the modern day countries who know that those tools today? Eh? Our country here is number one. Number one when it comes to warfare. So the Philistines, they knew how to fight war. They were skilled soldiers. They were enemies of Israel. And there was something that God told the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt, when he gave them his laws, that you're going to be my people. There was something that God told them when it comes to marriage. Brother Usman, do you remember what it was? Who they could choose as wives or husbands?
Or who they couldn't choose? Yeah, they couldn't choose the people of the enemy.
Why?
Because then the whoever is getting married will then, you know, change their ways, follow their gods instead of following their Lord, their God.
You see why you cannot choose somebody that is not a child of God like Dipo is? Because if you choose a child of Satan, guess who your father-in-law will be? That's why you can only choose the child of God. Because then your father-in-law is God. How many old people want Satan to be their father-in-law? Nobody. You can't. So, please read on to see what Samson did.
So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well.
Hold on a second. When God called Manoah and his wife, and God told them, I'm going to give you a child. Do you know that God filled that young man called Samson with his spirits? Because God had a divine assignment for his life. And that divine assignment was that God was going to use Samson to deliver his people from the hands of the Philistines. So when you are reading the early chapters, how long had they been in captivity to the Philistines? Thank you. They had been in captivity to the Philistines for 40 years. Because that cycle of that we talked about, exactly, God had punished them under the hands of the Philistines, so they had been there for 40 years. Remember that when they went to the Babylonians, for how many years were they with the Babylonians? 70 years. God's punishment upon them. So here it was 40 years. Brothers and sisters, some of us, things we are going through in life, if we are knocking at a door that is not opening and we are keep banging our head, we might have to go back. God, what did I do wrong? God, what did I do wrong? The hardest thing for you to know is that you've missed the path. You are now in the woods. What was supposed to be God's path now becomes thorns, thistles. You just can't make headway of anything. Okay, let's go back to Samson now. So Samson, there was something that Samson said. God called him for his own purpose. What Samson said was that, what did he say about this woman of the Philistines? She what?
Please.
And you were going to see that word over and over in the life of Samson. It was what pleased him that it was about, not what pleased God. What pleases his eyes? What pleased his flesh? That was what he was about. And like I said, we're going to learn about people's lives, things we ought to do and things we ought not to do. Because if you choose God's path, there's a consequence. If you don't choose God's path, there's a consequence. Either way, God's will be done. The question is that, will you enjoy God's blessing in his will being done through you? Or will you go through it the hard way and God's will still be done through you? Please go on.
Five. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat, but he didn't tell his father or mother about it. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with the woman and was very pleased with her. Later, he returned to Timnah for the wedding. He turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion, and he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. He scooped some of the honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it. But he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of lion.
Will you stop there a second? Yeah. Okay. Sister Stacy, what did Samson do wrong at this place? Hints. Remember his vow, or what God vowed him to do. What did he do wrong? Wait, let Auntie Stacy try first.
That he went down to Timnah?
No, not that he went down to Timnah. The vow of the Nazarites, what did he do wrong? He ate honey, right? But from where did he get the honey?
He got it from the lion.
From which lion?
The carcass.
The carcass. Was he supposed to touch a carcass? That's it. He was supposed to avoid any dead person or animal. That was part of his vow. So he violated what God had called him, vowed him to be. Now, God calls us his children. And we are not without rules. We are not without laws as the children of God. There are sometimes, and that is why I say this thing parallels our lives. There are sometimes that we too, we violate God's laws. You know those times when they invite you to a birthday party and you eat, your stomach is already telling you have had enough. and they bring a new course, and your eyes say, ah, I've never tried this one before. Please, let me try another one. And this time, your stomach says, I'm done. Anymore, we're going to bust. And then they bring Auntie Anna's fish. You know that fish? And then you now shift gear into gear G. You know which is gear G? And then it begins to stuff. That is a violation of something God has. God called you and said, you must not be a glutton. Sometimes we say that, oh, because we are modern. Sometimes some people say because of convenience. You are not yet married. You are living with a partner and you are sleeping. You know what I mean? Just to, because of the children. I'm not saying just dozing. Doing something more than just dozing with the partner and you're not yet married. It's a violation of God's law. Because God has said, it is God who had made the law. No matter what law he makes, because he's God and says, don't do. No matter how stupid it looks to us, no matter how much it's not modern to us, because he's a God that doesn't change with time, we have to obey what he says for us to keep the covenant to which he has called us into. You might not think it's a vow that we have made, but do you know that a covenant is like a vow? His part of it was that he will give his blood to save us from all the things we will have suffered when we die a second time. To have an eternity in hell without Christ. And on this earth, to be able to live victorious over sin. To be able to live victorious over the attacks of the enemy. That is his bargain of what he has called us into. Now, what is our own side of it? It's only one thing. What he tells us to do, do it. If he says, don't commit fornication, don't commit adultery as a married man, don't be gluttonous, don't be lustful, don't be prideful. If he tells you to do that, do it. Because if we don't, there are consequences. But do you know the interesting thing about this God we serve? Many times his consequences are not immediate. Many times the consequences are not immediate because he gives grace upon grace. He gives time for repentance upon time. So, Samson had started to violate what God had called him to. Did he face repercussion immediately? No. Please go on, Sister Shade.
As the father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, as was the custom for elite young men. When the bride's parents saw him, they selected 30 young men from the town to be his companions. Samson said to them, let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of the celebration, I will give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. So he said, out of the one who eats came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to explain the riddle for us, or we will burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor? So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, don't you love me? You don't love me. Sorry. You hate me. You have given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't given the answer to my father or mother, he replied. Why should I tell you? So she cried whenever she was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young men. So before sunset of the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with their answer. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson replied, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to the town of Ashkelon, killed 30 men, took their belongings, and gave their clothing to the men who had solved the riddle. But Samson was furious about what had happened, and he went back home to live with his father and mother. So his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's best man at the wedding.
His wife was given to Brother Osman, fair Philistine women, oh. Bracken, you have a question? Okay, please. Ibrahim, fair Philistine women.
Now, if we look at the beginning of the story,
yes,
we discover that God gave them rules and regulations.
Yes.
Right? I would like to say that if it were to be our present day mothers,
right,
when Samson said, I need a Philistine
woman,
they would have said, I forbid you to have that.
Yeah.
If you do that, you're no longer my child.
That's true.
Because they didn't do that. So when something came with the honey, they accepted it.
No, they didn't accept it. They didn't know.
They did. They took it.
Yeah, but because they didn't know.
Forbid him, they wouldn't have wanted him to come closer.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Was Samson a child or an adult?
An adult.
Could they have said, can you tell success, if you do this, I will banish you, I will do this?
Well, I can say that, but I may not.
But can you
really put it into action, but I miss
you. Can't even put it into action.
I don't want to be close to you.
All you can say is, I will slap you. But you can't. You see that young man? He and I are very close. But he's a grown man. I can tell him, I can shout, but what he will do, he will do. But I agree with you. You know, they can say, I will banish you. But even if they say, leave my house, what he will do, he will still do.
But he wouldn't have brought the honey to him.
Probably.
And they would have said, they would have.
But there was nothing wrong with eating the honey.
We don't need anything from you. You disobeyed.
That's true.
We don't.
I agree with you there.
Yeah. Then we look further again.
Yes.
The wife of the Philippines.
Woman.
They acted just like the Nigerian politician. They can take life to get power. They can do anything.
My brother, is anybody that doesn't know Christ?
Oh,
that is anybody that doesn't know Christ? Because even we, before we came to Christ, that was how we were. Because only if you know the heart of man, what we are capable of without Christ. I'm telling you, even in some churches today, what some people are doing, we just have to say, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for what you have done in my life. And to know, but for you, your grace, myself, I will be worse than Samson. I will be worse than the Nigerian politician. Fumito, you had a question.
I don't think it wasn't a question, but more a contribution. Because like you said, Samson's parents were complacent in the action. Because if it was,
in which action?
In him defiling himself, basically.
No.
The sense of him going to go and find a wife from the
family. Okay. All right.
Because if it's that they didn't want to take part in it, they would have been like, if you want a wife, go and find out yourself. Why are you telling? Because they still went ahead with it. They still went to Tamora. Is it Tamora? Timna to find the wife to for the entire wedding proceedings. They were still part of it. Mm. They could have washed their hands out of it, but they still took part in the process, and with that they had added themselves to Samson's defilement, and then that's why they even had the opportunities for Samson to give him the give them the honey, because if they weren't part of the wedding, they wouldn't have been in the journey with them, with Samson, and they wouldn't have taken the honey.
Fumito, I agree with you, and I will say something. Let's revisit this question when you have your own child. Hmm? So when you have your own child, we'll answer that question again. Brother Usman, but I agree with you. I'm not saying I don't. I agree with you. But there are some things that are not black and white like that. Okay.
Okay. So what both of them said is something that I actually was thinking about bringing up as well. And so I'm not disagreeing with anybody. If we go back to Judges 13, so a point that I always thought was interesting was the angel of the Lord appeared to his mother.
Yes.
And then when she went to tell the father, well, she was in the field. Mm-hmm. We can assume maybe working or taking a break from working. He was taking a nap, or maybe he was sick or something. He was laying down. He wasn't being active. And so she had to come report to him that the angel had came. And so I think that gives us a little bit of insight into the failings we'll see later on in their parentage. Because they're the ones who are given the instruction from birth, this is the child who's going to rescue the Israelites from the Philistines. Mm-hmm. These are the rules he has to follow.
That's true.
From birth, they should have instilled those rules into him. Clearly, they did not.
Well, we don't know that they did not.
Well, if your parents told you don't marry a Philistine, you're not going to come to the house and say, hey, I want to marry this Philistine.
But also, if you see your son tear a lion, will you not say, come, I will spank? You know, some things are, you see this one tear. There are certain things about the life of that, but that you yourself as a parent, you will have to say, Lord, for my own life, own safety. Yes, Dipo.
In furtherance to what you said,
okay,
I've gone a little bit further, and it was almost like when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, it's like he's angry.
Oh, you're going to fire ahead.
Yeah. So
you're going to spoil the show.
I'm sorry.
Okay, but go on.
Yeah, I'm just trying to say.
Okay.
So his parents, they probably are even scared of when he's angry. He might go the extra length.
Very true.
So that was probably why they were careful with the way they dealt with him.
It's possible.
Yes, so just trying to reinforce what you
said.
That
is just being human. It's possible. Because some of our children... That's why I said, when you have your own child, we'll revisit that thing. Sister Lola? Okay, it's good.
I'm going to disagree just a little
bit. Okay, good.
So I think that...
That is why we come here, so we can all open it together. Yeah?
The discussion brings to mind the Bible study that I had years ago with a different city.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation was... There was a group of older women talking to younger women. And everybody had to say the one advice that they would give. And the one advice that stuck out was, when your children are really, really little...
Mm-hmm.
It's time to start. And if you wait, even once they pass the really, really little, it's possible you will succeed, but your chances of success get more. So as we were talking, I went back and I looked over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, one of my brethren here had said, teaching. I feel like if they had really instilled into him when he was younger,
mm-hmm.
really, really, really instilled, the chances of their succeeding was higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it very interesting what my brother talked about the family dynamics.
Yes.
About somebody being in the field, somebody not being in the field working.
Yes.
Because if you look into scripture later on in scripture, it says fathers train your children. It doesn't even talk about mothers training the children, right? And so what was going on there? We don't know the whole story. I'm just raising questions. What was going on there with that family dynamics? Was this woman too busy in the field because she can't do two things at the same time,
mm-hmm.
that she doesn't have time to actually sit with her child and train? Where was the father in this story?
Mm-hmm.
Where was it that she had to, the first thing that struck me when we read the story was the angel had to come twice.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't just come one time.
Yes.
So I'm asking myself, if someone gave me a prophecy like that, and this woman is, would she, should she really have been in that field by herself, somebody who was going to carry that big prophecy by her? You know, it's just a lot of questions there. So, in conclusion, in my mind, somehow I feel that he didn't get very strict training. Now, I am a parent of an adult child, and I will say, at some point, you have to admit that you are a parent and not a god. And so you let them be. You can only do so much.
So all the things that you said, true. You've just turned it around there.
Turn it around.
Okay, I have one question. Just one question for you. Sister Lola, I have just one question for you.
I'm saying he made too many wrong choices.
No, I just have one question for
you.
One question.
I'm listening.
Every child that you prayerfully teach the word of God turns out right.
That is what I just said. I'm the parent of an adult child.
That is what I just said. That everything you just said, you've negated it. Because what you are saying is that to the best of the ability of the parents of Samson, Samson should have turned out right.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if we're pulling lessons,
yes,
those are all, because we don't know the whole story. If we are pulling lessons, those are things that we ought to pull and look at and say,
okay,
maybe. Because the truth of it is that I didn't do everything my parents wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did not. And I don't have a bad child, but our choices are not essentially, they're not mine always.
That's very true.
Some of them are valid. Some of them I'm looking side at like, okay, we'll see how this one will end. So I can't say I claim responsibility. All my job is to teach and lay foundation.
That's it.
I just question, because of the so many wrong choices he made, we have to sit as parents and say, did they lay all of the foundations? We don't know. We can't judge them necessarily, but we still have to ask that question.
But that goes both ways. There are some children that will turn out right.
Yes, and the parents are horrible.
That's true. And then, and there's some, to the best of what you can do, they will still turn out. So the only thing you can do is to do your best. That is what Manoah did. Look, my son, out of all the children in Israel, how come he's in Philistine? You are going to look for a wife. But you are right, he said that. But we also, like you and Brother Usman just said, how they were just in the field, we don't know. But what I'm just saying, so that we don't go away thinking that it's our responsibility that our children, what we do will always make them turn right. That's it. That's it. Yeah. That's true. Okay. Before you, Brother Kimoi.
Morning. You know, we talk about kids and parents and parenting and stuff like that. Number one, when you have kids, which I just got my first, you want to do the best for them. You want to show them the right path. But number two, you're never around them 24/7. And as the older they get, the more they go out, the more they experience outside world, the more they think of themselves and what they are achieving.
Mm-hmm.
And because now they're achieving these things, it's not about the parenting or the parenting that they got. They have gone beyond that and believe that now they can do it on their own. And then they find themselves making decisions based on the community that they're in, the environment that they're in, the people that they're around. Yeah, probably, hey, Samson, the Philistines are your enemy. Samson was out there with his friends, you know, going about. And yeah, the Philistines probably look a little bit more attractive to him than the individuals that are around him, you know, the friends talk, you know. Hey, and number one thing about having a child, never say, do not do that without having a proper conversation. Because the more you tell them not to do, the more they want to do. And it's all to, you know, a part of their achievement.
And the worst that can be is you say, don't do that, and you are doing that.
Right. And she said something at the end.
Yes.
That about Samson was thinking about God at the time. Samson was just thinking about him. So until he can think about God first, then he's automatically going to make that mistake.
Mm.
And as you said earlier, you make the mistake, you make the mistake, you make the mistake until in the end, you come to God to say, God,
help me.
And then you might be, you know. So that's my thing.
Okay. Thank you. Rakunle?
I don't think we talked about this verse 4 that I see in this chapter.
Okay.
I'll move it to verse 4. Just to ask what that means in the light of all the things, all the wealth of wisdom, all of you have, you know. Verse 4.
Okay, speak on it. Oh, okay. So what does it say? Please read it.
So the previous verse says, so I go to the previous verse. Let's read it in context. So then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me,
for she pleases me well. Mm-hmm.
But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel.
So what was happening was even in the plan of God. Or do we know that we can, like I started with, we can fulfill God's plan either through our obedience or through our sin. Let me repeat it. We can fulfill God's plan either through our obedience or through our sin. What we just read, there's a corollary to it in the book of Romans where the Bible says that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. God told Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. Pharaoh could have said, let them go. Did the people of God go eventually? They did. So they could have gone with Pharaoh letting them go, or they could have gone with the death of Pharaoh himself. So, and like, what I want us to take away from this, there are many maybes, but there are lessons I want us to learn for our lives. Please, as much as we said that no matter our best efforts, we cannot specifically determine how our children will turn out, never stop praying. Never stop praying. As long as you have breath, there's still hope. No matter which way our children turn. If they're not walking in the way of the Lord, keep on praying. Don't give up. Yes, they have their own mind. They have everything. But I know that the same God that can bring somebody out of death and raise them to life to be born again can change any heart. Can change any heart. There are children that are not my birth children that I am praying for in this congregation. Because as much as the Lord has brought them here, they are my responsibility to pray for them. Some of them are not yet born again, but I'm still pressing forward, praying till I see that thing that I know that God can do in their lives, that God will do it in their lives. Ibrahim, you had a question. Oh, Sister Shadi first, then Ibrahim.
I noticed that in verse 19 or 10, it says that they picked companions for him. And I wonder, because generally in Africa, the groom comes with his companions. Could it be that because he chose a Philistine wife, Israelites would not go with him? I'm just wondering.
Very good.
Why are they picking companions for him?
But who picked companions for him?
The Philistines.
Was his parents?
The parents. His in-laws.
I thought it was his parents-in-law that picked companions.
It was his in-laws that picked the companion.
Because it was his in-laws that picked the companions for him. It was the in-laws that gave the wife they gave him to another man. So you can see the trouble that followed him because he would not walk in the way of God. But you are right. You're right. But I can tell you, Israelites that are following God will not go down to the land of the Philistines. They won't go. But his parents went, that's true. And that is why I say it's the heart of a parent. It's very hard. No.
He went on his own.
He went, yeah. Ibrahim. After Ibrahim, Sister Kemi, and then I think we'll.
One thing I just wanted to like point out, because I'm still growing up myself, and as my parents' child, I can admit there's a lot of stuff I didn't listen to. But the biggest advantage that we have over a lot of our brothers and sisters in the Word is that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us.
Very true.
Yeah.
What is the difference about your life now and the life you had before?
I want to do what is right. I want to be righteous. I want to do what God wants me to do. And even in the Word, it kind of encouraged you to listen to your parents. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring those things back that my parents were teaching me when I was younger back into my heart and my life. But, yeah.
So why weren't you listening to them before?
I was listening to myself. I was listening to my friends.
Why? You know the answer, because that is what we've been talking about since last week. No, it wasn't that I wasn't praying. Even if he was praying, he could not. Because the difference now is that you have the Spirit of God in you. That is what marks us more than anything from the world. Do you know that the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, God himself lives in you, walks with you? That's the difference. Before, you could not, because you didn't have the resources, you didn't have the power. But now, and that is why I've been emphasizing since last week, we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit living in us. We can't. And even when the Holy Spirit lives in us, we still have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can reject his admonition. We can quench what he's saying. But now you are without excuse. That's the difference. Sister Kemi, and then we'll finish.
I would like to encourage us to remember that all that we're all sharing is for us. Manoah and his wife have lived, but this is for us. And to that end, I would like to encourage Fumito and all those who are yet to marry and are going to marry to hold on to what Fumito said, that it is right. It is right that we will choose God over our children and not to lose that resolve because it is hard. That resolve within you that you said, no, they should have said, I'm not going to go with you. If this is what you choose, I won't go with you. I think we need to recognize, well, there are different temperaments in different children, and some children are more strong-willed than others. And children will do what they make choices. They do make their choices. There still is an influence and a power that you have, even over adult children, that it may not be overt. It may not be in your face. You may just see them going, but somewhere there, somewhere in there, and you never know. But it will come back. It may. We're praying. So don't you lose that resolve that I will choose what God says. Because I could see that resolve when you said it. And Brother Ken said the same thing. That if you're going to do this with kindness, but with firmness, you're going against Adonai's ways. You know we raised you to be a Nazarite. Not to lose that resolve. Secondly, something Sister Lola said that I want to encourage us not to miss. We start when they're young. And we start with who we are. The predominant disposition where I was growing up from a lot of kids where their parents were not living according to what they were teaching them was, your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. And we all know children catch who we are more than they hear what we're saying. That doesn't mean that children who turn out wrong, just like Brother Bumi has shared with us, that it means it's because the parents were not living right. James Dobson once said that when children turn out right, we can't take all the credit, because you see children that their parents were drunkards and those kids become pillars in society. It's like they decide, I'm absolutely not going to be like this. And there are children whose parents do everything right and they are living right. And those children turn out wrong. So we ask for God's mercy. But we need to, two things. She said, it's when they're young, hold them firm. And we have a generation that will be starting their own families in time. When they're young is when you are firm and you are consistent. And you are consistent. As they get older, that's when you begin to release gradually, gradually. But that consistency, and it's not brute force, but it's consistency and firmness that they know. I don't know whether mothers remember, we would say, when we would yell, don't do that thing, oh, and we're yelling and yelling. And we say it over and over, but they know, mommy, until our tone changes. And often when we just drop that tone and we sound a little like daddy, Toba fork or kinye, they know now mommy means it. And then they stop. But sometimes daddy just says it once because they know he keeps his word. And so that consistency, and when they're young, that's when to be firm. And as they get older, we relieve, we relax, we relax. And may the Lord give us wisdom.
Amen.
And prayer, like Bruce said, prayer.
Thank you. Has everybody gained something from today? So please be attentive when anybody is coming here to read the Bible passage. By God's grace, we're having our children's service next week. I still want us to continue, you know, when next I get an opportunity to preach, we're still going to continue with this story of the life of Samson, because I want us to see the trajectory through to the end of how Samson missed it, but there was also redemption at the end. Okay, thank you. Please, we have communion. Young men, Daniel, Derek, please, can you bring the table? Brother Shegun, please, can you help us lead communion today?
Let us pray as they bring the Holy Communion. Eternal Rock of Ages, we thank you for a day like this. By your power, you have brought us together before your holy presence. We realize we are unfit for this, looking at ourselves. But thank you, Lord Jesus, because you gave yourself. And you qualify us for a day like this. We say thank you, Lord. Father, as we are being served, may we do this to your glory. May we never do this unto condemnation, O God. We ask that all we will do here will be to your service. We dedicate our lives unto you, O God, in Jesus' name.